B-Pod Studios.
The Sports Hub.
And now, a feature presentation.
It's Toucher and Rich's Laugh, Damn It.
Hi, how are you?
Doing ducky. 98.5,
the Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. Big Adventures premiere is happening on Tuesday. Nick and Bert both want to go, so we said go out and get the best audio you can. Friend or family, it doesn't matter. So Nicholas, of course, went to his father. And when we last left his father, he was... throwing young Nick under the bus, and I think I can find it here. Here we go.
When I left the show.
I did. Well, I really can't answer that.
Wait, why?
Because I wasn't upset with them. I was upset that you quit.
I thought you were going to be on my side for this.
Nicholas, I'm on your side every day I'm alive.
Except for this one exception.
When he calls you Nicholas, that's the best.
Ah, Nicholas. Ah, my sweet, sweet, simple boy. Ah, Nicholas, you're like an old child. Here's a cup and a ball and a string. See you in 2 hours.
But when Fred is giving you a hard time, he does it because he's doing it to be funny in many ways, or you've ticked him off somehow.
No.
Oh, well, you know what? You just missed.
No, there's some times that Fred can be extremely unreasonable.
Watch it. You work for him.
I know I do.
Yeah, so be nice.
I think it's fair to say sometimes he can be unreasonable.
Well, I don't know. I just had this conversation with Bird. It was just here. Well,
what's going on over there?
What, by the way, what a Don move that would have been.
That was
if
awesome,
Bird would have said, for my audio, I'm getting Nick's dad.
Hell yeah.
Love that move by you.
So that didn't happen.
I don't know. Let's find out if he's making it up.
Oh, man.
Well, Bird's an idiot.
Bird was just here doing an interview with me.
No, he wasn't.
I want Fred to take me to the premiere.
Okay, I guess he is. But, Bird, that would have been
great.
That would have been amazing.
That would have been a massive flex.
Wow.
Ah, Fred is right. You're an idiot.
Okay, did that hurt, Nick, that he chose a side and he didn't choose yours? A little bit. Yeah, I could tell. I could hear it in your voice.
Because I'm an adult. Even back then, when I was 32, I was an adult. And you're a child. I like how he's like still acting like he's mad at me, even though I never even insult him anymore.
I don't think he is. He's not mad at you.
No, but he's acting like sassy. I might as well just tell you what happens in the movie and give this to Bird.
Oh, you want to go to premiere with Fred?
Yeah, I'll have my tux on and everything. So
I disagree with you. Rich was not mean during that time.
I do not remember then, okay?
It was different times.
It was a lot of liquor then. You know?
Yeah, we got drunk a lot during that show.
No, not... Oh, I don't know that fact. I know how I was.
I don't remember much. Yeah, I know.
It was a huge bender. The years 2006 through 2010. I couldn't tell you anything, Nick. All I remember was a blue light. I know how I was.
Okay. What are your thoughts on the Avengers?
It's incredible.
Well, that's not what you said. Now you're just faking it. You said, what are the Avengers? You said...
Oh, what is the
Avengers? Yeah, that's what you said.
I don't know.
Hold on. I'm going to re-ask you the question. Jesus, Dad. Just stay with me. All right. What are your thoughts on the new movie, Avengers Endgame?
I have no idea. I have no idea.
I love that because he's just in naturally happy mode. Like, it's wonderful.
It's wonderful. It's like Kelly's roast beef.
That's right.
Harold and Maude. Oh, I loved it. Sunrise, sunset.
Doing just, ducky.
Oh, Sophie's Choice. I love it. Oh, the Tom Hanks movie when he gets AIDS. Philadelphia.
Philadelphia's not really a movie.
I never saw the end.
You're not going to like it.
I only saw the first 15 minutes.
Okay, all right.
I have no idea. I have no idea. I've never seen one. I've never seen the show. I have nothing. I know nothing about it.
So you don't know anything about, like, who's in it and stuff like that?
No, but weren't you in New York one time and you sat in the big metal chair that I have a photo of?
No, that's Game of Thrones.
Oh, okay. Well, that's...
No, this is... Can you name some of the characters in the Avengers?
No, but I could name them in Game of Thrones. I like that blonde girl. I think she's gorgeous.
Khaleesi?
Oh, my God. Just to see her interviewed on a regular show. She's a beautiful girl.
Oh, I tape her on Maury and yank it. Oh, Nicholas. Even when she's on a show.
Nick's face.
I got my own special recliner for that.
See, that's dangerous. You do the interview from the recliners. You're not sure which one is the recliner.
Now, the Bernie and Phil's, you never touch yourself. That's a good one.
Nick is just like, he can't even look at us right now.
Nah, Nick.
So you really like Game of Thrones?
I do. Well, I don't know anything about Game of Thrones. I just know that girl, the blonde girl.
Okay. You haven't watched any of Game of Thrones. You just like the lady on it.
My shows are Kevin Can Wait, Drew Carey's show, MASH. That's sort of my speed.
He legitimately likes Kevin Can Wait?
Ah, oh, that guy. God. He gets into such mischief.
Oh, man. I can't believe
suicide
it.
Suicide is painless. Suicide is painless.
I am not your ordinary guy.
Ah, oh, look at that fatso's up on the roof. He ain't getting down without a fight.
I am not your ordinary guy.
Ah, oh, Alan Alda thinks the kid's a chicken.
MASH. Is MASH still, like, running on television?
Yes, oh, it yeah. is. Yes, it is. It is.
If I bait him at...
He's got on laser.
Hot lips. That was another blonde. Suicide is painless.
So you don't know any of the characters on Game of Thrones?
No, I don't. Oh, the little short midget guy. No, I don't. Oh, the little short midget guy.
Small person.
He's a friend of your sister's.
Oh, really?
She's done two or three shows on Broadway with him.
With the small person.
With the small gentleman, yes.
Not midget.
Who's a very talented actor. Well, I think he's a dwarf. Oh, and Anthony, I believe he could be an aunt and uncle. Because they're all about that height.
What? In our family, they can be an aunt or uncle because they're all about that height.
Ah.
So hang on, your sister's friends with Peter Dinklage? Yeah?
Wow. That's pretty good.
Really?
Get the Dink Man on the show.
Yeah, I'll take him on the show. Absolutely.
Get the Dink Man on the show.
So he's never watched Game of Thrones. He just likes the blonde girl because she's been on TV so much.
Ah, yeah.
She's been on Ellen.
Nicholas, March. I'm on your side every day I'm alive.
Nicholas.
Nicholas, I'm
on... I love when he calls you Nicholas.
I wasn't upset with them. I was upset that you quit.
From your dad's mouth, stabbing you right in the back.
Do it, ducky.
I'm honestly not surprised because I was right. It's like it hurt his feelings that I was right.
By the way, did it truly crush your dad when Kevin Can Wait was canceled?
He probably doesn't know it was canceled.
I mean, I
don't ever tell him. Don't ever tell him. Just let him continue to win.
I'm home all day, and I'm looking at 500 channels, and I don't know where the Drew Carey show's on anymore. Like, it's not on. Like, Home Improvement's on, but the Drew Carey show, not on. So that's his own thing. He knows some stuff that we don't know. Well,
all right, we have much more Mark Jamelli stuff that we will play either tomorrow or Monday. And then we got to get to Bird's big thing.
That's right. And then that will be...
And then we will make a judgment, finally, on who is going to go to this Avengers premiere.
And Bird better have come up big.
How you feeling? How you feeling, Bird, so far?
He's 50-50.
Should we give him a chance to continue to mine?
Yeah, absolutely. Why not?
We'll give him a little bit of advantage because you had a rock star at your disposal, Nick. Come on, you understand that it's fair for him to be able to go out and do what he can.
Yes, why not? It doesn't hurt anyone. It's just good for the show.
Ducky.
All right. Well, listen, Mark Jamelli is a true hero. I don't see Ty Anderson, but he's supposed to be in studio with us.
He's got a few minutes.
All right. Well, we will talk to him in just a moment.
A Sports Hub.
Presentation.
It's Toucher and Rich's Laugh, Damn It.
Hi, how are you?
Hello. And for Roof.
There's a lot more to worry about than
Toucher and Rich. It's a real nightmare. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Down low, 9. Krejci flipped it ahead. Marchand, it's flipped ahead. Nordstrom over the line, chipped it toward the net. He scores! With 2 seconds remaining here in regulation, the Boston Bruins with an empty netter from Joakim Nordstrom have taken a 6-4 lead over the Maple Leafs here in TO.
98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Ty Anderson writes for 98.5thesportshub.com. He covers the Bruins. Last night, it's been an up and down series. Last night, Pastrnak, the Stars played well. The fourth line was terrible. The supporting cast wasn't great, but it was kind of a reversal, in my opinion, of the other games. What do you think there, Ty?
Yeah, I mean, finally their best players came to play, which you've been waiting for all series now, and I thought they played well, like those guys did. The rest of the roster, oh my God, it was survival mode for them. It just felt like from the 10-minute mark on, you were just hoping, okay, please, you know, nothing completely fall apart here. And it came close, but at the end of the day, you know, the first line plays, and I think Tuukka played really well, especially towards the end, given the amount of shots and the volume of shots that he did face.
You think he stole a game? I read your article.
Yeah. I do. Because think about it. We've said, well, Anderson's played better than Tuukka. That's been the theme.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now you look at last night's game. It's a 2-2 game, and from that point on, Rask outplayed Anderson. Finally, it finally happened where, you know, you look at those goals that Pastrnak had in the second period and the Chara goal. The Chara goal, if that's Tuukka giving that up, we're killing him.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
Horrible, horrible goal to give up. It's a 62-foot, you know, half slap shot. Really not all that much power behind it. So I look at that and I say, Rask outplayed him. And then I went back and rewatched some sequences. They had a stretch where within 2 minutes, they gave up 9 shots to the Maple Leafs. And these were the Leafs' best players.
Was that the very end of the game? Because it seemed like he was getting assaulted at the end.
That was in the middle of the stretch where they got 2 goals, the Matthews goal and the Dermont goal.
Okay.
Those were within that 2 minute and 12 second stretch of 9 shots against Tuukka. And these were good looks, too. They weren't like, oh, here's a weak wrister from 80 feet away from Nikita Zaitsev. These were good looks from Toronto. And then late, they pull a goalie, he makes a stop on Marner, and then Tavares. And it really was a last-second victory, but it was on the backs of your best players, which I think is what you needed to see, because if they weren't going to play well, and if Tuukka wasn't going to steal a game, as we all talked about, they weren't going to win this series.
So you've been an advocate, or you were last time we had you on possibly switching up the lines, and that it was funny. Throughout the entire day, everyone thought that Cassie was going to roll with it. He said it in his press conference, and he's going to keep the first line as is. And then, the first time I know I knew any different was during the broadcast. Like, they announced it at the beginning, so Cassidy's trying to do the old switcheroo right before the game starts. Obviously, it worked. Something worked there. What did you think of how everything switched, and how do you believe he's going to approach the next game?
I loved the old switcheroo. I loved it, because he talked about this last year, Cassie did, where, you know, if you go up experience versus experience here, Cassidy versus Babcock, Cassie says he's going to lose that battle every time because people think Babcock is this genius, this amazing head coach. So he needs to get crafty. He needs to get tricky. And he did right there. And I loved it because I think Heinen, he's had some jump this series. He's probably been one of your better forwards, which I know going into last night wasn't saying a ton, but he has been playing well. So I liked that move. I thought moving Pasternak down with DeBrusk and Krejci would get that line kickstarted. Didn't really happen. They didn't look all that great last night as a unit. And then the rest of the roster, you're just kind of hoping they can break even. I really feel like that. Like, this is a series where these two lines, both teams, the Tavares line and the Matthews line and the Bergeron line and the Krejci line, they're going to decide it. They're going to play 20 minutes a night. You know, each line is going to play that much. So,
well, they double-shifted Pasternak there for a while.
Yeah. And it's I mean, what other options do they have?
Right, exactly.
It's like they really are so reliant on their top-end skill in this kind of series. If they are to advance and face Columbus, different kind of series, I think, because both teams are deep, both teams are grinders, if you will. So I think that right now you need a win on the back of your stars, and they did it last night, finally.
What do the last 5 minutes say to you, Ty? Because we were talking about this earlier. We've seen so many times where the Bruins have kicked away leads, and you were saying Toronto had a lot of pressure on them in the final 5 minutes. I've seen many times the Bruins blow leads and then lose games in overtime like that. They played really well those last 5 minutes. And to me, that has ramifications not just for this series, but for the series to come. To be able to hang on like that on the road against some really skilled players. I mean, Marner, Tavares. I mean, you got guys, some of the best players in the world coming at you when you held them off. I think that speaks volumes about where this team can go.
Yeah, you have to feel good about it. I mean, you get the worst stomachache in the world for those final 5 minutes. Last night was not an enjoyable experience for, I think, anybody watching it.
No.
So it was just... So, I mean, that's what it's going to be. That's what it's going to be. But the fact that they did hang on, the fact you did get some big stops, you had some big shot blocks, too, from Brandon Carlo, Chara, even the forward, thought the commitment to blocking shots last night was really important for this team. So I just think they're relearning so how to win this time of year. I think which teams need to do. Like, they are figuring out what works for them in the final 5 minutes of games. You know, it's not always going to be a blowout. It's not always going to be, hey, we can just bully this team and they're going to quit. They're learning about the Maple Leafs here, and that the Maple Leafs are improved and that they are a year older. So I think last night's win, that's an important win. I really do believe that now they have momentum. For the first time all series, they actually have momentum. You know, going into game one, it was easy to feel nervous because they weren't playing particularly well heading into the playoffs. I think now, you know, sort of your point, they're finding what they need to do escape these games with the victory, and now it's back home, and now they have home ice back on their side too.
All right, so you saw game two and just how incredibly physical they are, and obviously you can't keep that up for an entire series or you're going to be dragging at the end. But what do you feel about the shift to play? It was so successful in that game two. Is it impossible to recreate that?
I think you can do it at home. I don't think you can do it on the road. So I guess maybe you can do it every other game, but that's a hard way to play too. You're just changing your style. But I do think that Friday night at the Garden, they're going to play like that. They're going to come out flying because they know that building is going to be crazy. They know what's on the line there. And I think that they've identified that that's a way they can beat this team. And it doesn't always have to be you're putting through the boards. It's you're getting pucks in deep and then you're winning battles. You know, that's more important than physicality in today's game, I think, especially against this Maple Leafs team. They have some guys that don't like playing defense.
Right.
You know, between Morgan Riley, Jake Gardner. Zaitsev is terrible. Like, he's one of the worst defensemen I've ever watched in my entire life. Like I watch him and I'm like, this guy's not good. Like, you can beat him if you get the right matchups out there. And being at home, they get that opportunity. So that's where I think, you know, you talk about the lineup and moving forward. I keep Backes in there, even though it's been quiet these last two games, because I think that at home he can be David Backes. On the road it's more difficult, but at home he can be what he was in game two and make a difference for this team.
All right, so DeBrusk, it's been quiet a little bit. The second line yesterday wasn't great, at least Krejci, DeBrusk, and even when Poss was on the outside of the score, I mean, it was. I think they're outshot by a ton, as a matter of fact. What's going on there? Do you believe he's still hurt, or why the kind of quiet game?
Well, he hasn't been on since game one.
Yeah.
Right? So that, I mean, that's on you guys.
It's only a regular season.
Well, he was on game one and then he was atrocious. So I think that he's off that bandwagon.
Well, maybe. I don't know. He got Nazem Kadri kicked out of the series. So maybe that is a plus.
That could be it.
I don't know.
Well, he's always welcome to call in. If he wants to call in tomorrow, we'll definitely have him.
If I see him today, I'll let him know. I would say this. No, but he doesn't look right. He doesn't look 100% right now. He looks slower skating, which I think is more telling than, oh, he looks like his decision-making is off. Maybe his head still hurts. I think there's something going on physically, you know, below his neck, if you will. I don't think it's his head, and he's suffering from concussion of any sort still. Plus, they're very cautious about this stuff now. If he had any sort of concussion thing, they'd yank him right out. They wouldn't let him play.
You think like broken bone?
I don't know. It's just he doesn't have the same jump. When you watch Jake DeBrusk play, you know, he is a menace out there. He is just hounding after pucks, and he's getting on top of guys. You know, I don't think he's been doing that this series since game two. So that's an issue. I think Torrey Krug doesn't look well either. I think, you know, maybe he was able to sneak by the concussion test, but physically he doesn't look like he has his legs out there. He looks tired. So with both those guys, I just think they're off right now, and maybe being back home, they're not going to practice today. They get a day off. They'll do a morning skate tomorrow. You know, maybe that will help them. But I think both those guys are struggling right now. And John Moore returns to lineup last night. Didn't look good at all. Yeah. Johansson, I didn't think looked that good either. So this is sort of back to our original point of you're going to need the Bergeron line. Even if they're broken up, those three players are going to have to carry your offense right now.
Yeah, especially last night because, like you said, outside of their stars, no one played well.
No. I mean, you can't think of anybody. Like, even Grizzlick, who I think is typically one of their more underrated players that shines, was a nightmare defensively. He couldn't get it done.
Chara looked slow.
McAvoy looked good.
But he's almost a star at this point. Would
yeah,
you say?
Sure.
Like, he's kind of the top of the roster there. So it's tough to find anybody. I mean, Nordstrom, that final minute was nice. You know, limiting shots and then getting the last second goal. That helped them.
Well, didn't he just like bench the fourth line after a while? Like they spent a lot of time off ice.
Well, they were out there again in the third period, and I was like, oh geez, can you get these guys out of here? Like,
right.
I'm just having like the worst time right now.
When's Corrali come back? Do we know anything about that?
So the belief is that he might play tomorrow, and I think what that means is today he's gonna meet with the doctors and the trainers. They're gonna figure out where he is, what he can do out there.
Yeah.
And they're going to go from there. I mean, he's just such a good skater that they really miss that. Even if his hand is hurting him, if he can skate and maybe not take faceoffs, but just be a presence out there, make the Maple Leafs think twice, you know, on their zone exits and their zone entries to the neutral zone, I think that can make a big difference for them because I think Chris Wagner hasn't looked well since coming back from his injury. Achari's given them almost nothing since coming back, or since the playoffs started, rather. And Nordstrom, he is what he is. If you get anything out of him, that's great. But I think Corrali really is the heart and soul of that line. And people, I think they undersold how much they were going to miss him. Like that was a big loss for the series because Cassidy had big plans for him matchup-wise and speed-wise. So to get him back, even if he's at 70, 75%, that might make a difference in Game 5.
All right. We have Ty Anderson in studio. Bruins, almost a must-win situation last night. They win 6-4. Now they come home tomorrow night, where Ty believes that they can be the kind of physical game that Game 2 was, which is one of the more enjoyable hockey games I've seen in quite some time. Just when you're... DeBrusk is just going insane on people. Getting Kadri knocked out of that game.
Did you like when he got cross-checked in the face and he got up and he had like that menacing,
yeah,
I'm kind of sleepy
while
look?
He skated while he skated off.
Like, yeah.
Dude, you're not all there. It's hard to be menacing when you're half gone.
Yeah, it's hard to be menacing when your head's just been jammed.
Want to fight you? Question mark. And I was like, wait, what?
617-779-0985. 617-779-0985. Here are the headlines.
Anywhere on the Sports Hub app. The playoffs play here. 98.5, the Sports Hub. Miss something?
Wonder Woman was there, but she's lost all her powers.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5, the Sports Hub app. Now back to Toucher and Rich on Boston's home for sports.
.985, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Ty Anderson, who covers the Bruins for 98.5thesportshub.com. A huge Avengers fan.
Yeah.
His friend bought 27 tickets.
To opening night?
Yeah.
Is he selling any of them?
Absolutely not.
Oh, so it's just for him and 27 of his, or 26 of his friends?
So we have like a Facebook group basically where we all say, hey, so-and-so's coming out this Friday. Who wants in? I'm buying the tickets on Wednesday or whatever. The first day these became available, I think the final count was over 20. Like, of all, it's a Facebook group that we have. It's with all of our friends in real life. But yeah, he'll get there. He's already told me. We're going to the 10:30 showing of Avengers, and he's going to be there at 11 a.m.
Why? So you're, he's in one of the theaters that doesn't have reserved seats?
Yeah, we go to the IMAX in Reading.
You see, that sucks.
That's
the reserve seat, we were talking about this off the air. One of the best things that they've done in movie theaters now is the reserve seating. Because I remember when the Star Wars came out, whatever the first one was, or the seventh one, I had to wait in line for an hour and a half to get a good seat. Because I hate sitting in a bad seat at a theater. It's just don't go. It's not even worth going.
Why
put yourself through that hell? Go to a theater where you can get a reserved seat.
Absolutely not.
Why?
This is a survival game, my friends. If I'm there early and you're not, that's on you. Yeah. That's on you for not knowing.
See, sometimes brains are part of survival, and that is knowing that you can go online and not have to do that for an hour and a half.
So he'll get there at 11 a.m., and obviously he's alone at that point.
Yeah, and then we all start filing in, you know.
But so he'll sit there for, that's 11 hours. 11 and a half
hours. So he's going to have to be the guy who says, nope, these are saved. Save seats. I've had to do that before. There's nothing worse than before they had reserved seats, like getting like six tickets at a movie that's sold out. And he's like, is anyone sitting here? And then people just sit down, and you got to be the jackass to tell them they can't do that. So he's going to do it for 26 seats?
No, you guys roll in.
We roll in. We roll in deep. At the front of the line, which for the people behind us, they're like, oh, come on. And it's like, nah, sorry, man. He's been here since 11. He speaks for all of us right now.
So 11 and a half hours he spends there, and what does he do for his time?
Well, you got games on your phone, you got YouTube, you know, you can do anything now. You don't have to go, you can just do whatever you want.
So he just sits outside by himself.
He doesn't have to get parked in the line until, you know, let's say probably he'll be parked in line around 6 p.m
so why does he get there at 11?
You know, makes a day out of it.
Oh, jeez.
He makes a day out of sitting in his car?
He doesn't have to. That's the thing.
Wait.
He does not have to do that.
Wait, so he makes a day out of it sitting in his car?
No, he'll be in there. It's a Jordan's Furniture, man. You can walk around, you check out couches and beds.
Not for 11 and a half hours.
You can go to the Jelly Bean Park. That's right, you know, and do the trapeze. Is that in that one? I'm not sure.
The liquid fireworks? Yeah, you can do it all there. It's way more than a furniture store, guys.
They got a Fuddruckers?
Yeah. You can have all three meals of your day at Fuddruckers. You can get an elk burger, a buffalo burger, and then a regular burger.
Bison burger's all right. I'm not gonna lie.
So he just goes there.
Man, you're right.
He just goes there and just walks around Jordan's Furniture all day.
Basically, yeah.
And then you guys all meet up. And then
so
you
he's
walk.
Like a hobo. He's just like most hobos.
No, then he's, the other days he goes to the library and uses the computer in the bathroom.
Throws his feces on the wall.
No, does he have a job?
Oh, yeah. No, he has a great job.
What does he do?
He works in security around America.
Okay.
America to Joe. Overnights.
No, not overnights. But he
stares at monitors.
You don't have to. That's the most fascinating thing. I would understand if somebody did that, and I wouldn't even give you crap. If there weren't theaters that do reserved seating where you don't have to do that.
It's much harder to buy 27 seats for reserved seating, though. So this whole thing works to our advantage here, the Jordan's Furniture, without having to pick out your seat. Hey, if you get there first, you get there first.
Now, when you see, I saw something on the internet of a guy looking at the new Star Wars trailer, and I guess people were making fun of him, and now Mark Hamill and all these people are saying how, you know, wonderful it is that he had this reaction, because he's crying and everything else. I get it. Which, again, I wish I liked anything remotely that much.
Why would you cry at this trailer?
Because he was all excited and crying and everything. I don't know. Dude, I don't know. I don't know what he saw. He cried when he first saw the girl, and then she turned on her lightsaber and he cried. And then they showed some dude on a, like a... See, when I talk about it, it sounds like I'm trying to be cool, but I'm not. I honestly don't know. I like Star Wars fine. I haven't seen the last couple. But like when you see an Avengers, like you obviously, when they released the preview, you were like on the computer immediately, I would imagine.
Absolutely. You know what's funny? The friend who saves all the seats, he hasn't seen the trailer.
He doesn't want to see it.
And so we've been going to movies these last few months. They've been playing the trailer. He covers his face with his beanie and starts going, like humming, so he doesn't hear anything, which I don't understand how that works.
I respect his beanie. Just always has a beanie.
He's a summertime beanie guy?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. I've seen him with like a fitted hat once. I'm like, what are you doing? Yeah. Weird.
You're beating guy.
Back on? Yeah. I like this.
So I hate him. So so when you see the trailer, do you immediately get like emotional?
I've never cried during a trailer, no.
No, but do you get like emotional?
I get pumped. I get excited. Yeah. Like I think, I don't know, like these movies have been, geez, now it's been what over a decade now of waiting for this kind of moment. So it's cool to see all the characters kind of together, but no, I've never cried or gotten emotional during the trailer.
This is the end of Game of Thrones because this is the closest a franchise that I've seen to being like watching a TV show for like 10 seasons, because this is the end of it. I mean, this is like how the big story ends. There's going to be, you know, spinoffs, and some of the characters that are in this are going to make other ones, but that is basically Better Call Saul. We're ending Breaking Bad with this movie.
You know, there's
it's the end of it.
There's nothing, even like a garbage sitcom, if it's been on long enough, like the last episode is sad. Like it's always sad, especially like shows that were from when my kids were really young. And I would like sing along to the theme song with their names in it. And now I realize like it's been off the air for a while. And I'm like, there's something like I've told you, I was in my fraternity. It was the year after I graduated college. And the last episode of The Wonder Years was on. And we were all incredibly hungover. And they do that thing at the end of it where everyone's in slow motion mm-hmm. at the parade. And then the narrator is saying everything that happened in the future. Mm-hmm. And I look around and everyone's like tearing up.
It's amazing. A direct ripoff of Stand By Me. Just like a blatant direct ripoff of Stand By Me.
It was well done. It was well done.
I was thinking
it
about
was
that.
An homage.
But you don't have to feel that way because, I mean, it's like, Ty, all these TV shows and stuff are being remade. They're all being rebooted. And I was thinking about this yesterday because we talked about how many people are watching The Office right now. Like, it has found a second life on all of these streaming, like Netflix and all these other places. It has got a brand new audience. Apparently, college students, it's the most downloaded show on any of the streaming apps and on Netflix. So I was wondering, how much do you think Steve Carell would make if he came back to them and said, let's relaunch this show?
He'd be one of the highest paid actors in a sitcom.
There's no
and
question.
I hope they don't do it.
I hope they don't do it either.
Like, just leave it alone. Like,
by the way, that show did not end well.
No, the final two seasons stunk.
But
no,
he was gone.
The actual... No, I know. Listen, I love The Office as much as anyone. The last episode, though, was not... Like, it was not a great episode.
No.
It ends like that the documentary's done and they're on stage at this theater and they're being asked questions and the redheaded girl finds her parents. I'm not spoiling anything.
Sure.
You've had 8 years, basically, to wrap it up here.
Right.
So that's all you at this point.
But Roseanne was weird because the last three seasons sucked so bad that it found out that John Goodman had died and she had been writing this fictional life.
Yeah, you can change the rules. You can bring dead characters back. There's no, like no one's going to, woo. I mean, Kevin can wait. My God, they killed off the wife and never really mentioned why.
Yeah, but that
happened.
But that was almost too dark, Rich.
It was like killed the show. But honestly,
I mean, it was, if that was really morbid.
Yeah, if you're telling me that if they brought back the season 4 cast, like when you had, like when they brought the two offices together and you had some of the great characters from there and the great ones from the original, that you wouldn't enjoy that show?
I might enjoy it, but it would never be. They, first of all, they could never do what they did. Never.
Well, I mean, there's certain episodes that you watch even now and you go, oh my God, that was on TV.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's
I mean,
Always Sunny episodes are like that too, or like that would never fly today. I
there's Simpsons episodes
well, yeah,
that you
well,
watch.
It's Always Sunny is like changed into this like moralistic like kind of thing. Like the last episode of It's Always Sunny this year was like an odd ending.
Yeah, they've had a few odd seasons now.
Yeah.
That's a show that I almost wish kind of ended. Like,
yeah.
Like a little while ago because they're running out of like it's still funny, but they've lost their fastball a little bit. Now they're relying on junk pitches, which I'm not huge fan of.
Well then I mean when Mac came out and did that wonderful dance in the rain. I mean, the reviews were off the charts. I just didn't understand what was going on because I'm too stupid.
Yeah, that's how I feel. But no, opening night, we're all going to be there. All going to be there.
Rowing 27 deep.
27 deep. I mean, hey, you got to do it. I mean, it'll be great, too, because I can finally talk about it with my friends who refuse to see the trailers because God knows why. They just refuse to see it. And I'm like, you see that? Like, don't talk to me about it. I'm like, oh, cool.
So you're going to be sad when it ends.
Yeah, I will be. Only because
You've devoted days of your life to it.
Yeah, and now we're gonna have to hang out and go see like Aquaman. I don't want to do that. That's awful.
Aquaman was fine. Yeah. It was fine.
I mean, your friends could do other things besides go to the movies.
Yeah, that doesn't. They don't want to do any of that. They're all gonna start like family soon. They're all getting married.
You could feed the ducks. All right, we'll be back. We'll actually talk about the Bruins with Ty Anderson in just a moment.
.org. Thanks for starting your day with Toucher and Rich.
Why are you doing this to me?
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Sykes at turn, met by Bergeron, sent over to the far side, held in by Chara, tees it up, holds, waits, fires, he scores! Bergeron may have tipped it, we'll see who gets it, but Chara from long range, bombs away, 5-2 Bruins!
Bird's backing out of this contest.
What's no, that
he's,
about?
He's not backing out. He got a guy who's good. He got a guy who's good, but I'm like, if you really... really want to impress, you're going up against Mark Gemelli here. You're going up against Nick's dad. Let's see if you can do something truly special. You know what this is? I'm the principal in Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure. I want to see something truly special. All right? Can you blow me away?
Can you bring Socrates into this?
This is why he lives at home, because he just has no drive.
Just
his first instinct is to give up. I mean, that's a loser mentality.
I have faith in you, Bird.
Come on,
Bird. You have a well of material, like, right outside of your door.
Honest to God, there's no one in Fenway.
I got a random guy at a bar. You just called me a loser.
I said you have a loser mentality.
No,
am I wrong?
That's a loser mentality.
You haven't even played my guy yet, so I don't even have a chance. Like, play the guy I just got for you guys and compare the two, and I lose. I win, great.
As I said, you gave up, which is a loser mentality. You shouldn't do that. I think that you should try. If that would inspire me. So if I heard somebody like coming in and just swinging for the fences like Mark Gemelli did,
yeah,
I'd say, all right. Now I got to think outside the box.
I did think outside the box. I was trying to find new characters. I went to this random dive bar in Everett, and boom.
Then keep trying.
You're still fishing.
I already have a guy.
What's that?
I already have a guy.
You do, but do you think he'll win?
See,
if you have any doubt, I would go out. I mean, if there's any doubt, I'd be like, all right, well, I got to keep going.
I like the guy.
Okay. All right, Bert.
Let's play him.
We're not playing anything tomorrow because there's no one to cut up the audio. All right, but I mean, that's the mentality that I don't understand.
Go get him, Bird. Come on. Show us what you're making.
Like, just settling. Just, you know, it is what it is.
All right, so Ty, you predict, because they're back at home, you said that Backus is going to play like the Backus that we saw in Game 2. It's going to probably be physical. So you're obviously feeling fairly positive about what you saw last night in their return here.
I am, because if it comes down to home ice, I've seen this before. I know how this ends. It's Game 7 in Boston at the very worst, and they're gonna have the advantage because the Leafs are terrified of this building. I know that when the pressure's on Game 7, the Toronto Maple Leafs are going to make mistakes because that's what they do.
Yeah.
And like, so maybe I'm being cheap and getting out of this, you know, the best way I can, but I do think the Bruins now have a momentum and they're going to take advantage of it.
Okay, what about the building specifically? Like, why do they have so much trouble here, do you think?
I just think, like, they're at their core, they're a younger team. And I know they've gotten better, but it's still who they are. Defensively, they're not good enough. And if you give Boston last change when they have the Bergeron line and they can reunite them in a pinch if they really need it, that's a hard challenge for any team, especially a team that... Again, we've been praising Freddie Anderson this series, and I don't get it. I don't think he's been that good. And last night he was bad.
Yeah,
so if this defense can force some turnovers and make Anderson work, I like the Bruins' chances. I just think that's, they have the advantages at home across the board, and it's all about, you know, so long as Tuukka doesn't poop his pants and let up 4 goals on 20 shots, they should be okay. And I think if it was going to happen, it would have been last night during the shooting gallery. And he gave up 4 goals, yeah, but he made 38 saves. They were outshot 30-17 in the final 40 minutes of play. Like, he was completely underwater with that team for the final 2 periods of play, and he got them a win. And I think that can do a lot for him moving forward. I really do, because they weren't winning because of Tuukka. You know, when they won Game 2, it wasn't, oh, Tuukka played well.
Mm-hmm.
They've been losing because he hasn't made more saves than Anderson. And I know
do you agree with Ludo Chidzawa that Rask kind of cost them Game 1?
No, I think their defense did. You can't allow 6 or 7 odd man rushes or breakaways in the same period. That, I mean, because yes, he gave that William Nylander breakaway goal, but then he had a Tavares breakaway that he stopped a second later, had an odd man rush he stopped a minute after that, and then was saved by the bell on a final chance that the Leafs had before the period ended. He kept you in that game, you could argue.
Yeah, I also don't think Fluto said he lost him that game. I think he said that he had a chance to win him that game, and he didn't.
Oh, okay. Fair.
So, because he was saying, I mean, he was blaming, obviously, DeBrusque for the tripping and the breakaway goals, but he said that, you know, that was a moment where Tuukka could have been a hero, and he wasn't.
And that happened Game 1. In Game 4, he had the chance to be the hero, and I think he was. Like, I don't if you're anything even resembling a rational human being, you can't leave that game last night and go, oh, Tuukka didn't play well. He played very well.
Just had one, let him one very soft goal.
Exactly.
And then he corrected it.
He should have stopped that one, but he made up for it in the second period. I thought that great look on that great save he made against Connor Brown right at the front of the net that he just, you know, puts his leg out there and he gets him. So that was a big stop there, I thought.
All right, let's go to Sean. Sean, go ahead.
Yeah, he had a couple of great saves, but he passed the puck right to the guy in front of his own net. He looks so unstable. It's ridiculous. I'll listen off to you.
Talking about Tuukka.
Yeah, I mean, but what do you want, though? Like, we can't take a 38-save performance, especially with him stopping all the stops he made in the third period, and then go, well, he did this wrong. Like no, this isn't going to be... We have to get past this, guys. This isn't going to be Tim Thomas in 2011. It's not going to happen. If they win, he's going to make some big saves. He's going to make some mistakes. He's like any goalie in the NHL. It's going to happen. You have to stop holding with this ridiculous standard that, well, he makes $7 million, so he has to do this. The contract was signed in 2013. Nothing you can do about it now. You can't do anything about it. If you want to trade him, you can trade him, but you're not going to get a goalie that doesn't have the same kind of flaws that he does. Do you want Martin Jones? Have you seen Martin Jones in San Jose? He's been god-awful. He's been the worst goalie in the NHL this year, and he's the reason why the San Jose Sharks are not going to make it out of the first round. So I'm not trying to say Tuukka's perfect. When I say that he plays well, people think I'm saying he's this amazing goalie, he's perfect. No, he has his faults. He has his problems. But he's still your best option.
And he looked relaxed to you last night.
He looked when the game got tight, he was fine.
Because that's a big thing with him. You can tell. You can almost tell by the way he's moving.
Absolutely.
If he's scattered or not.
And the fourth goal, it goes off Nolachari's hip and through him.
Right, right.
There's nothing he can do about
that.
No. There's nothing he can do about that. So I look at it last night as a 38 out of 41 night. You know, that's 42nd shot is the one that goes off Achari's hip and through him. That's not really a shot in my book. That's friendly fire. So right. I look at that. Like, he played fine. He really did. And we can't nitpick every start that he makes because that's just it's a pointless game.
Right.
It's absolutely pointless. He is what he is at this point, and right now he's given you a tied series heading back to your building where you have the advantage.
All right, Ty Anderson, read him at 98.5thesportshub.com. We will have no commercials here, just the headlines, and we'll talk to Danny Ainge. Rock stars, I think, ever. Nikki Sixx